The DP Sammy Wilson has come under fire after he said some aborted fetuses in Great Britain had been, quote, discarded and put in a bin before they were ever born.
There are 100,000 people alive in Northern Ireland today who would otherwise have been killed at birth before they were even born.
That's right.
Killed before they were even
That's
born.
Right.
And I know that that message is not liked, and indeed so much so that the pro-abortion lobby tried to get the Advertising Standards Authority to challenge it. They found that statistically that was a correct figure. So we have people today in Northern Ireland who are rearing families, who are contributing to society, who are building their businesses, who are working in our factories, who are sitting in our schools, who otherwise, if we had had the legislation which exists here in the rest of the United Kingdom, would have been discarded and put in a bin before they were ever born.
Mr. Wilson made those comments after the Conservative MP Heidi Allen had described her own abortion. The remarks by Sammy Wilson were made during an emergency debate on abortion laws in Northern Ireland last night in the Commons. It came after a heated exchange between Sammy Wilson and the Conservative MP Anna Soubry.
As a result of the legislation which we have in Northern Ireland, which, by the way, I am not embarrassed about, and which, by the way, is balanced because it does protect the woman and her mental health and her physical health while at the same time recognising the rights of the unborn child. And as a result, I'll give way, yes.
Grateful to the Honourable Gentleman for giving way. So what's he going to do about it? That's what I would ask the Honourable Gentleman. Are you going to get 724 women that came to this country to have abortions? What are you going to do? Make them stay in Northern Ireland, have children that they don't want? What's your solution?
The Conservative MP Anna Soubry with us now. Good morning to you, Anna.
Morning.
And the DUP MLA, Jim Wells. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. What did you make of Mr. Wilson's contribution in the House yesterday, Anna?
Well, I mean, emotions. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Emotions were running high. I mean, look, I think everybody needs to just calm down a little bit, especially Sammy, and understand that the issue of abortion, which is something that's been debated on and off over the years, is an important issue to many people. It's all well and good using the sort of emotive language that he did when he fails to understand the realities. And the realities are that if you make abortion illegal, it doesn't stop it. Because what happens, as is happening in Northern Ireland, is women are taking pills they get from the internet, or they're coming over onto mainland Britain and they're having the termination of their pregnancies here. And just trotting out really rather cruel and rather old reactionary views on this matter, I just don't think advances it.
So what's cruel about it?
He needs to see... Well, cruel to have a system and a law that means that if you want to terminate a pregnancy, you have to leave your home and travel overseas to mainland Britain.
I don't think
that's cruel. So what are we doing? Are you and I having a debate, or are you going to be the arbitrator of a debate?
I thought you called Sammy Wilson's comments cruel.
I do. And I find his attitude cruel, and I'm entitled to my opinion. Well, I've just explained. I don't think it's right that women shouldn't have a choice. You see, I don't put my views on anybody. I say let a person, a woman, often with her partner, husband, boyfriend, often with her parents, they make that choice and let that woman make the choice. And that's the difference. People like Sammy impose his views on women. And I want women to have a choice. And at the moment, their choice is restricted to buying pills online, which are often unsafe. They're not properly supervised in the taking of those pills, or they come over to mainland Britain. So my response is, what is your alternative? Because if you make abortion illegal and ban it, all you do is threaten the lives of living, breathing human beings who are of a certain age.
Well,
and it's about time, if I may say, we looked at the woman. And that's what they've done in the Republic, and they've changed their laws. And it's very simple. You know, get your assembly up and running, make that happen. Stop all the posturing, because for the sake of the union, as well as women and families in Northern Ireland, you need to have an assembly that is dealing and talking about these matters. Otherwise, we will have a form of direct rule which none of us want. I believe in a devolved Northern Ireland, and I want your assembly up and running and working, and I want people to stop the political posturing. It's damaging people in Northern Ireland, and it is undermining the union of our great country.
Let's get the DP's reaction. Jim Wells.
Well, I noticed that Mrs. Soubry never once mentioned the phrase child, unborn baby. She talks about rights. She talks the right to choose. What choice does the unborn human being in the womb have? And I noticed she didn't contradict what Sammy said, that 100,000 people would be dead, would not be here in Northern Ireland, had we had the 67 Abortion Act. And those people are out in the community making very valuable contributions to our society. These are human beings we're talking about. They're not fetuses, they're not bundles of cells. They're sentient human beings which would otherwise have been killed in Northern Ireland had we gone and accepted the 1967 Abortion Act here. Secondly, the Assembly has made a recent decision on this issue, in fact, much more recent than Westminster. On the 10th of February 2016, we had a very detailed and very calm debate about this. And after a lot of deliberation, by a very substantial majority, the Assembly voted not to have any change in our legislation.
But Jim, why do you bring any store to how the Assembly votes? Because when the Assembly votes and the DUP doesn't like it, they block it with a petition of concern.
So why are you trying
to cite what the Assembly is saying? Because when your party doesn't like it, it just overrules what the Assembly is saying.
Well said.
For that debate, we decided not to have a petition of concern, and it was won by a substantial majority from right across the political divide.
A substantial majority, if you want me to go on about your majorities, a substantial majority in Northern Ireland also voted against Brexit in the referendum, and your party discounted that as well.
The difference, Stephen, it was a UK-wide referendum. The vote in the Assembly was for Northern Ireland only. And what sticks in the throat...
Well, let's just nail this. Sorry, I actually need to let you finish. Go ahead.
Well, what sticks in the throats of those who are trying to bounce us into... forces into a rapid decision on this crucial issue is that the will of the Assembly has been well established, and that will is there's no need for change, and we will continue to save the lives of unborn babies in Northern Ireland.
Well, look, let's just nail this, because you talk about the will of the Assembly and you're clearly putting importance on that. Mm-hmm. Can you confirm today then that if the will of the Assembly is to change abortion law in Northern Ireland, your party will not use a petition of concern to overrule the will of the Assembly?
I can't guarantee that, because we're talking about the fundamental human rights of thousands of our citizens, the right to life.
Well, stop talking about the will of the Assembly then.
Well, the will of the Assembly is also expressed through the petition of concern.
Is it?
How? Because that is there to protect the human rights of the various minorities.
It's not what a petition of concern was ever designed for, was it?
Well, the most basic human rights, the right to life, and I think there are many in our society would want us to consider it, but I'd hope it would win it without a petition of concern.
Okay. Anna Soubry?
I just think he's saying it all, isn't he, about an absolutely unbending attitude.
To and human life, unbending. And then interrupts,
you know. There's no point debating with people like that, because he's so fixed in his views, which he then imposes on women, on families. So even somebody who has been raped, what happens in those circumstances? And I do have to say this. You know what? It's most bizarre. The most papist view now is coming from the DUP on the island of Ireland. The DUP, you're stuck back in a bygone age. Move on, sir. Get real and look at the realities. The reality is you have hundreds of women who are exercising some sort of choice. They're choosing to terminate their pregnancies, as is their right, but by coming over here or taking pills off the internet. I'm afraid your value of human life is not the same as mine. And I suspect the majority of people of Northern Ireland, and the more they hear from you, the more you will drive them into the hands of the soft nationalists and the responsible unionists, who will begin to look over the border to the Republic of Ireland and say, you know what? I think I might rather prefer to be under that jurisdiction than under your jurisdiction, sir, of member of the DUP.
This party, who you describe as being stuck in a bygone age, Anna Soubry, well, are your partners in government. Now. You wouldn't be in government
well,
without them.
Government.
So what are you doing?
Partnering
up with a party who you describe as stuck in a bygone age.
On these issues, they are. The peculiarity of it all is that, you know, Sammy Wilson is a man who actually, when you're not talking about these issues, where I think he just gets, as I say, stuck in the past and becomes horribly dogmatic, is actually somebody I have very enjoyable conversations with. Jim Shannon is somebody who I can genuinely say I enjoy Jim Shannon's company, and Ian Paisley Jr. as well. The problem is, when it comes to these matters, and it's the same on same-sex marriage, equal marriage, I'm afraid they are awfully dogmatic and I find their views cruel. But on other matters, they can be very sensible. And so, you know, it is only on social policy where I have a particular problem. And I wish it weren't such, but I just wish that the more sensible, moderate voice... And actually, you mentioned Brexit. New polling shows that if there was a vote... Again, in Northern Ireland, it would have risen from 56 to 69% remain. Why? Because they see the realities of it and they know what's in the best interests of peace and indeed prosperity in Northern Ireland, and that is to stay in the EU. And again, you know, I think people will look in Northern Ireland and think, I'd rather be in the Republic as and a member of the EU than in Northern Ireland and out of the EU. So for goodness sakes, come on, guys, get your act together. That's my worry.
Well, you're conflating two issues here, aren't you? You're conflating the DUP's...
Well, you started it, but I was happy to continue it.
You are conflating the DUP's position on abortion with the safety of the union, and you said...
Well, I think it's this unbending attitude. You know, I'm a pragmatic Tory. I'm also a pragmatic unionist. I'm proud to be a member of the Conservative and Unionist Party. And in all politics, you know, if you just blindly go along on an ideological, dogmatic course, it doesn't get you anywhere. Reaching out to the realities of life is so important, and you can still do the right thing. Trouble is with people like Jim is that he's forgetting the life of that woman and the right for her to determine
what happens. What about the life of the baby?
But it's not a baby. This is a silly thing to say. No, it's not. This is why we can't have a sensible conversation. Because a fetus under the term under 12 weeks is not a life. It has the potential for life. But I'm interested in the life of that woman. And it might be her other children. And it might be her husband or her partner and her family. These are real living human beings. And they are people that you should be thinking of.
Okay.
And what you do is you discard that woman and you say, take pills off the internet, go off over to mainland Britain, have your termination there. What's your solution to those women?
Well, let's let them reply.
Close your borders and keep them there.
Let's let them reply.
Women have been going across the water to GB for termination since 1967. But that's taken into account in the statistical analysis, which shows that this so-called dogmatic policy has saved the lives of 100,000
human beings. You see, you're not listening, are you? You're not
listening
to the argument.
So
what about those 724 women? Do you think it's right they should have to leave their homes and terminate their pregnancies? Is that what you want? Look at that woman, maybe a 16-year-old that's been raped. Look at that 24-year-old, whatever age they may be. You really think that it's right that they should have to come over to the mainland and not be at home?
Let's let Jim
finish. What do you say to them, Jim?
And I notice you've never mentioned the word baby or unborn child.
No, because it's not a baby. Lovely.
It's not a baby.
A fetus under 12 weeks is not a baby.
Let's let Jim finish.
I've had two babies. I know what a baby is.
Hold on.
Well, that's the fundamental difference between me and Mrs. Soubry. I believe that life starts at conception. We're dealing with human beings.
Exactly.
And the DUP dogmatic position, as she calls it, has saved the lives of 100,000
people. So talk about the woman. You've had all that debate, right? We've done that one. Now talk about the woman who crosses the seas to come to Britain or flies over in some manner, who comes over here away from her home, may have been raped, in any event, has a pregnancy that she wishes to terminate. What do you say to that woman?
Well, the impediment of having to make that journey has meant that tens of thousands of women have thought twice about it and have not gone ahead with the termination. And that's
so you think that they don't think before they have a termination? Do you think they gladly skip into an abortion clinic?
Is that what you think happens?
Have you ever met a woman who's had a termination? Have you ever discussed it? Have you discussed what the thought process is?
And that woman...
Have you done that, Jim?
Well, yes, I have. And that the women that I've spoken to, their life has been wrecked with guilt as a result of killing their
own. No, that's guilt that people like you put on them. And there are many women who've had terminations. And they have thought long and hard about it. Are they just meant to subject themselves to the will of a man
I think we need to let Jim speak. Go ahead.
So sorry. Thank you.
Yes, I would like to get a word in edgeways occasionally. But what we know is that women do think twice because sometimes they're in a crisis pregnancy and they're panic and they're under pressure, maybe from their husband or whatever, to go across the water. And then they think of the practicalities of it. They think twice and they have the baby. And the vast majority of women are delighted they've had their baby because these aren't crisis pregnancies. They're often inconvenient pregnancies. And there are 100,000
What do you mean inconvenient pregnancies?
There's 6,000 people listening to this programme today in Northern Ireland who would not be alive if we had abortion on demand. Do they have no rights?
We don't have abortion on demand. And I'm not an advocate of abortion on demand.
There's no record in England of anyone ever being refused an abortion. Hence the fact you've killed 9.2 million babies since 1967.
No, I'm so sorry, but this is offensive language. Jimmy, you're offending... So they're not... See, this is a meaningless debate because you say they are, and I say, a fetus... which is not even a 12-week gestation, is not a baby. It is not a baby.
You, Anna Soubry.
And what you're doing, you still haven't answered the question about a woman's right to choose. And then you say that some of them have been coerced by their husbands. Well, that's a criminal offence. And in fact, if you'd listened to the debate yesterday, one of the things we want to do absolutely is to make it even more of a criminal offence for any woman to be coerced by anybody to terminate.
Anna Soubry, you use an example of what if a woman has been raped and seeks an abortion. What if a woman has not been raped?
She has a right to choose.
And has not chosen to use any contraception whatsoever.
Oh, for God's sake. Well,
you are delving into the circumstances suit your
argument.
Hold on,
Anna.
No. Let me put the question to me.
Okay, go on.
To you. I'll not put it to myself, I'll put it to you. You are delving into circumstances which support your argument. So what about the situation when a woman does not use contraception and then decides she wants to have an abortion?
Right.
Do you support? What would you say to that woman?
So I'd say you have a choice. And it's I don't impose my views on that woman at all. I give her a choice. And in fact, what happens is that she would go and talk to somebody. She would be counselled by somebody. You need two doctors to sign off an abortion. All these measures are in place. What we haven't done today. This idea that somebody says, oh, you know what, I'm just going to have an abortion. It's really easy. It's outrageous. That's not what happens.
Well,
you don't
know that that doesn't happen.
Of course
happen.
I know.
Well, of course it must happen in some circumstances.
Oh. And in those circumstances, that woman would be seen. Two doctors have to approve. And look, a
but
child
you would still
is not
support,
a punishment.
You
Hang
would still
on a
support
moment.
That woman
a
having an abortion.
A child is not an... If that's her choice, that's her choice.
And what
choice.
About the protection
Who am
up
I
to 24
to tell
weeks
people?
Of the child?
Ah, well, let us look at what... Let's have a proper debate, if I may say, about what's being proposed. So the proposal is that we end the criminal offence of an abortion, which the 67 Act effectively mitigates and allows abortions in certain circumstances with the approval of two doctors. We abolish the two pieces of the legislation that make it a criminal offence, and then we see abortion for what it is, which is a medical matter. And we say to a devolved administration like the Northern Ireland Assembly, now it's no longer a criminal offence because the Offences Against the Person Act of 1861 applies in Northern Ireland. Now it is for you to make your own rules and regulations as a devolved administration on the regulation of pregnancy. By the way, that I think it's the Child Infant Preservation Act, do forgive me, I can't remember the exact name of it, still makes it illegal to terminate a pregnancy after 24 weeks, and rightly so, in my view.
But before 24 weeks, it's not.
illegal. That's right, and absolutely. So it would be then for the Northern Ireland Assembly and for the Department of Health through Parliament here in England and for Wales as well to then make the rules and the regulations. So it could be two doctors or it might be one doctor and a medical practitioner, but the principle remains the same.
And if there is the no assembly, currently is no assembly, so what would happen then?
Oh, well, this is the danger that Northern Ireland is running into. Get that assembly up and running, or you will find yourselves in a position whereby civil servants will make those rules and regulations. You've got to get your assembly up and running. People have got to, you know, put aside these differences. Stop the dogma, stop the ideology. I don't care who they are, Sinn Féin, DUP, whoever they are. Just get on and work together for the sake of the union of our country. We cannot go on like this. You cannot go on like this in Northern Ireland. Because otherwise you will get what nobody wants, which is direct rule. God help us. You know, I'm old enough to remember the Troubles. I didn't suffer from them, as I know so many of your listeners will have done. Nobody wants a return to those days.
You think direct
and
rule...
And the power to change direct, it is to, in your hands.
Hold on a moment. You think direct rule would bring us back to the days of the Troubles, do you?
I think that you're in a perilous position, and I think that... You've achieved so much by working, putting the past behind you, working and striving for peace and reconciliation. I mean, there are still things that trouble me. And this is from my time when I was a defence minister and I saw the treatment of some veterans, which really I thought was appalling. Not the fault, I might say, of anything.
But why do you think direct rule would bring us back to the days of the Troubles?
Because I think it would undermine the Good Friday Agreement, wouldn't it?
And you think violence would return to the streets?
I think... Well, that's a matter for you.
Well, it's not a matter for you. You're a former defence secretary saying that you think that we could return to the
defence minister.
Defence minister, sorry.
That was because I met veterans from the Afghan from the war in Afghanistan, who were not getting the treatment they should, because they'd served in Her Majesty's Armed Forces.
I want to. So that's a different matter.
Let me go back to the point I was trying to make, which is this. Is that, you know, people are really worried that if we don't get Brexit right, there will be a return of the hard border. And when I've spoken to people who know I agree more about these things than I do, who tell me that their fears about the return of the hard border are real, that there will be civil unrest, there is the possibility of a return of strife in Northern Ireland after everything that's been achieved through the Good Friday Agreement. Nobody wants that.
I want to pick up on something you said, and we're going off on a tangent here, but you're saying something...
Stephen.
Yes, one second, Jim.
No, because it's all about you getting your assembly up and running again.
One second. You said something about 15 minutes ago, and I wrote it down. You said that, and I'm paraphrasing here, but you said that if we have no assembly, it undermines the union. In what way?
Because I think that... So moving on from the debate about abortion, moving into Brexit... You know, we've got a crisis in government in the United Kingdom. We have a cabinet that is divided and can't come up with a solution to the avoidance of a hard border in Northern Ireland and how we get frictionless trade and we do the right thing by British business, right? And one of the voices that is missing in all of this is, if I may say, the more sensible, reasonable unionists and some would say the more moderate, sensible nationalists, because we only have, with the notable and very fine exception of Sylvia Herman, we only have members of the DUP in the British Parliament.
Your partners.
And we think, I certainly think, it would help if we had more voices to represent everybody, and in particular the voice of those who voted Remain in Northern Ireland. Their voice does not exist in the UK Parliament, and I don't think that's good for democracy.
Okay.
And that's why I am worried. If we don't get it right on Brexit, then I worry about the future of the union. And I have to tell you this. I fear there are people in my party, proper hard Brexiteers, who are prepared to sacrifice the union, dis and get rid of the Good Friday Agreement for their ideologically driven hard Brexit.
So you think if we don't get it right on Brexit, we could be closer to United Ireland?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The polling, I'm told there has been polling that shows that.
That shows what?
That more people are looking at across the border and saying that's a more attractive option than remaining in the United Kingdom, which is outside of the European Union, than going into the Republic of Ireland the Republic of Ireland that has a Taoiseach who is of dual heritage, who is gay, and now proper modern abortion laws. A country that is appearing to an outsider like me to be more small L liberal and dealing with the real issues in the real world in a more humane way than people who are stuck in the past.
Jim Wells,
in Northern Ireland.
Jim Wells, I will let you respond to all of this. I will let you respond to all of this in one moment, but there's one follow-up question that needs to be therefore put to Anna Soubry about all of this. So, Anna Soubry, if you think the DUP have got it wrong on equal marriage, if you think the DUP are against women's rights on abortion, and if you think that the DUP stance on Brexit is threatening the United Kingdom, what on earth is your party doing in government with them?
Well, I'm not a member of the government, but I can quite happily answer your question this way, because there are on other issues, notably our approach to the economy, where we are absolutely as one. And, of course, it is the economy that many argue is the most important of all matters.
More important than women's rights, more important than gay people's rights, more important than the union.
No, I think what I'm trying to say is that if you the economic security of a nation is obviously incredibly important. The fundamental role and duty of any government is to keep its people safe, and that includes economically safe. So I am happy to work with the DUP, especially on those matters where it comes to the economy. But on matters of conscience, I don't agree with them.
OK, Jim Wells.
And that's always been the case. We can still work on
You will have a lot to say, Jim Wells.
And we agree on defence, by the way, of course.
Jim Wells, let's start off, and then we'll go backwards. Let's start off on Anna Soubry, Conservative MP, saying that your party is threatening the union.
Stephen, thank you for letting me into the Anna Soubry show. It's very welcome. I've never seen such a long contribution from one individual who consumed all of the air in the studio and never got any.
Well, how about consuming the air now that you've got the opportunity to do so?
Well, Stephen, can I just make one vital point on abortion? The average woman having an abortion in GB is 32, married and has two children. Last year, 70,000 women had their second abortion and 50 women had their eighth abortion. Now, we do not want that happening in this part of the United Kingdom, and it's the right of the Assembly and its elected representatives to make that decision. Secondly, we need to know what Ms. Soubry's position is. She is one of the Tory rebels. She's against Brexit. In fact, she's been leading a guerrilla campaign against her own party to try
That's
and
not
force...
True. You have That's voted not, I don't mind you arguing, but please don't tell untruths to people listening to this. I voted to trigger Article 50, and I accept we are leaving the European Union. And that is a mark of the pragmatism which I show. So let's hear some pragmatism now from the DUP.
A group of Tory rebels who've been trying to frustrate the will of the people of the United
That's
Kingdom.
That's not true.
And therefore, all your talk about gloom and doom to the union is trying to create a self-fulfilling prophecy. The reality is the people have spoken.
What about the polling numbers? She mentions, Jim.
Well, yes. Well, the poll said Brexit wasn't going to happen, and look what the result was. A vote of over a million people, clear majority to leave. The DUP are absolutely committed to delivering Brexit, to delivering the will of the people, and that's part of what's going on here, Steve.
Going against the will of the people in Northern Ireland.
But the will of the people of the United Kingdom. But what
the will of the people of the United Kingdom more important to the DUP than the will of the people in Northern Ireland. Is that right on this issue?
A UK-wide decision. A UK-wide decision of all the people of the United Kingdom.
Yeah, but this question still stands, Jim. Yes, it was a UK-wide referendum. Absolutely it was. But the will of the people of the United Kingdom more important to the DUP than the will of the people of Northern Ireland. Is that correct?
In exactly the same way that Scotland voted to remain but was taken...
Not talking about Scotland.
Yes, but what I'm saying is, Stephen, it was always the rules of the referendum were that we are going to
that
leave...
That was the rules of the referendum, but I'm asking for the DUP's position.
And the DUP are totally committed to Brexit. Totally. There's no issue. There's no ambiguity. The reason we're in the confidence and supply arrangement with the Conservative Party is in order to deliver the will of the people of the United Kingdom.
But you don't want a hard border, do you?
No, nobody wants a hard border, no.
Well, actually, I'm afraid some of my colleagues, hard Brexiteers, don't have a problem with a hard border.
Well,
See, this is where we do agree. So I'm really pleased. You don't want the hard border.
Who are they, Anna?
Good.
Who are these colleagues?
Oh, certain
of yours?
Elements. I mean, we've heard from some who've talked about, you know, ripping up the Good Friday Agreement. It doesn't matter, and all the rest of it. But I'm really pleased to hear Jim
from
say
within your party
that he doesn't. Yeah, yeah.
Who has said that? Yes.
I think Owen Paterson, former Secretary of State, was rather dismissive.
Ripping up the Good Friday Agreement?
He said, I can't remember the exact words, but he said it was basically, it didn't matter anymore. Look, I mean, there's an amendment which is coming back from the Lords, which was about making sure that we continue to support the Good Friday Agreement. It was laid by Chris Patten, Lord Patten. It's an amendment to the withdrawal bill. It's coming back. And at the moment, the government's going to whip people to vote against it. Well, I shan't be.
Jim Wells, what do you say? You've heard criticism in the past about your party being stuck in the past. And here's Anna Soubry levelling similar language against you and your party. Stuck in a bygone age is what she said. And Sammy Wilson, your party colleague, his comments are cruel, Jim.
Well, Stephen, if it's a choice between stuck in a bygone age that saves the lives of hundreds of thousands of people, or in a modern age where 9.2 million innocent human beings have had their life terminated in the womb, I know which I would prefer. I believe in Northern Ireland we still cherish life, we still protect life. And in all the talk of Mrs. Soubry, she has never yet mentioned the rights of the unborn human being. It's always been the right of the mother.
I don't agree with you, love. I have done. We don't agree. So we have done.
I
don't accept that a fetus is alive, but I do look at the woman, and your problem is you can't see that woman.
But we're
you can't see her right to determine what happens to her body and her life. You can't see her.
Let's let Jim.
A 23-week baby now can survive outside the womb. If that child is aborted in England, that's medical care. If the child is born and then strangled, then that's murder. Can you not see the dreadful dichotomy there, that a child which is totally viable can be killed in the womb in England up to 24 weeks, and yet we can now save the lives of that child? I mean, that's appalling. And the vast majority of people in all men regard the baby in the womb as a human being.
But what you've completely just won't realise and understand is, we know this from the past. If you ban abortion, it doesn't stop people from terminating their pregnancies. They still do it because you can't see the human being there. And the situation, this idea that women glibly skip into clinics or get pills offline, it's appalling. And I have to say, it comes from a man who doesn't even seem to know and understand these things.
50 women have an 8 or more abortions.
Anyway, I'm not being rude, but I was told this lovely interview, which is very interesting. I was going to finish at 9:30,
and
I'm due to go somewhere else. I'm very happy to sit here. I think your listeners might, the poor old Jim might be getting a bit fed up with listening to me. But anyway.
Okay. Anna Soubry.
I'm glad we agree on the hard border. I think that is very good and very important.
Jim does agree with you on the hard border, does he?
I'm glad we agree on that. And I do want to make it clear. I once came over a few years ago as a guest of Jim Shannon, and I had a really great day with Jim Shannon, and I like him enormously. I just wish we could agree on these matters.
Yeah, can I just before you go, it is one final question, and it's a very serious question, because a few people in Northern Ireland have put this to me over recent days. Your party, Anna Soubry, over the issue of abortion, look at the focus there has been in Westminster into Northern Ireland over this issue of abortion. We currently have no government in Northern Ireland. David Davis comes over for an hour or two and flies out again. Doesn't talk to the press or anybody else. Theresa May flits in, flits out. How about more interest in Northern Ireland from your party over the fact that we do not have an assembly here?
Well, I think, to be fair, I can't answer for David Davis. I'm sorry about that. And I share that concern. I think Theresa does everything that she can, but I think, and I'd be corrected by you or by Jim if I'm wrong, but I think everybody accepts that Karen Bradley, as Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, is doing a first-class job.
Really?
That's my understanding.
you think that's a widespread view?
I don't know. That's why I did ask.
A Secretary of State that has done what exactly in Northern Ireland to show real leadership in Northern Ireland? What's she done?
Well, my understanding is that it is the the main parties that have got to come together, put their differences aside and get this assembly. And it's, you know, we.
And you think the Secretary of State is a towering, powerful people. Figure that is really dominating anything in Northern Ireland?
I don't think you want her to dominate.
So what's her job?
Bringing people together, absolutely.
How about her making decisions?
What, on behalf of the assembly?
What about MLA pay, for example, in Northern Ireland? Fudged.
I thought we'd agreed on that. If not, I can assure you now I shall take that straight back to her. I promise you that. I thought we'd agreed that the MLAs were not going to be paid.
It has not been agreed. It's been stalled and stalled and stalled.
Oh, well, then that's wrong. I thought a decision had been made, and I will take that up with Karen Bradley directly.
Okay.
And I'll get her to talk to your producer and take up these criticisms as well. I promise you that.
Nice to talk to you, Anna. Thank you very much indeed. Jim Welch, you did not get as much time as Anna Subri this morning. Well, let's give you more now. There's loads of time in the Nolan Show.
I reckon I got about 10% of that interview.
Well, you can get more percent now, well, Jim Welch. There is someone who's a member of the Tory party. You're keeping them in government. They're describing your party as being stuck in a bygone age. They're essentially saying that you do not understand women's views. She threw in there also about what you're doing with gay marriage. She has suggested that you're actually threatening the United Kingdom. What on earth is happening in your party?
Stephen, Anna Subri is not representative of the Conservative Party. She's a well-known maverick. She's an individualist. She's paddling her own canoe.
Same might be said for you and the DUP.
Well, yes, although I think my views are much closer to the DUP's than hers are to the Conservative Party. What I can say to you is, yes, and she's very verbose and she speaks a lot. But the reality is that the vast majority of people in the Conservative Party don't see Brexit as a threat to the Union. We have difficult days ahead. None of us wants a hard border. None of us wants to return to checkpoints and all of that. And we're all working hard to make the transition to our leaving of the European Union as smooth as possible. So she's tilting at windmills when she says that the DUP are causing difficulties here. We're in a crucial period. And
undermining the Union, she says.
Well, and that's her opinion, which is totally wrong, because we are actually at the minute strengthening the Union, because if we were not supporting the Conservative government, look at the alternative, Stephen. Jeremy Corbyn, do we think that Jeremy Corbyn for one moment would do anything to protect the Union? So it's vital that the DUP's crucial role, and I think our 10 MPs are doing a marvellous job, that our 10 MPs need to keep in there to deliver all of the policy, the economic policy, which is beneficial to the country, Brexit. And
but
be
you've just let the cat out of the bag, Jim, haven't you? If you were not supporting the Conservative Party, look at the alternative.
Which
so this is why you do not have the leverage over Theresa May and the Conservative Party, that your party pretends to, that when your party issues these veiled threats or whatever they are to the Conservative Party about Brexit or else. There is no or else, because the Conservative Party surely knows, as you've just said this morning, look at the alternative. Yeah. You're never going to support Labour, are you?
No, we never are, Stephen. But our party have also made it very clear there are bottom lines in this conference supply agreement.
But look at the alternative.
Well, the bottom line is we're not prepared to be taken out of the European Union in any different basis to the rest of the United Kingdom. That is absolutely guaranteed our positive policy. And so far, as a result, for instance, of our intervention on the 5th of December last year, we have been able to achieve that. Because remember, I keep saying it, Stephen, there's been 54 votes in Brexit, 49 won by 10 or fewer votes. The government need our support, and they have our support.
But look at the alternative. You're not going to swing against them.
But Stephen, there's things that are even potentially worse. And us leaving Europe on a different basis to the rest of the United Kingdom would be constitutionally disastrous. And all of unionism knows that. We're not at that position yet. We're still negotiating. There's still a lot of talks to be ongoing. But up to now, we have been very loyal and very supportive of the government on Brexit. And we will continue to be so, until there's any change in our status.
Here's a genuinely open question, Jim. Do you think there needs to be any thinking within your party about Northern Ireland might come to a place in the future where a lot of the votes are not given to your party because of the green-orange issue? In other words, people standing up to Sinn Féin by voting for the DUP. Do you think with a next generation of young voters, your party needs to have some deep thinking about a next generation possibly voting on policies rather than green and Orange.
Funny, Stephen, you mentioned that when we've just recorded the largest vote we've ever had in our history, almost 300,000. So all these doomsters are saying that the DUP are finished, the DUP are no longer relevant. The DUP have recorded a colossal vote. Just, in fact, I think it's almost a year to the day we recorded it. So there's no indication of that whatsoever. And I'm in contact with young grassroots unionism in South Down on a daily basis. I know what they're saying to me, and my vote went up by 3,000 votes.
And those young grassroots unionists who you talk to, they're anti-gay marriage, anti-abortion, anti-Brexit? Pro-Brexit, are they?
They're certainly very supportive of Brexit. Their social policies, some feel very strongly about it, and others are not remotely bothered. But at the end of the day, the union is so important to those young people, they'll continue to vote DUP. And they do either tacitly or positively support our views on social issues. There's no demand in my constituents, Stephen, for gay marriage or abortion demand. It's just not there. I've knocked tens of thousands of doors. I'm at charity breakfast, faith openings, all sorts of community group meetings all over South Down. I'm listening to the people, and the vast majority of them are saying, stick on in there, keep at it, you're doing a good job, and we're proud of you. So if we're not under pressure, the pressure's coming from those outside Northern Ireland who are trying to create the Grimmindoo.